Now, it's really about the menopause that we're going to talk about today. But we are going to talk about different things that happen through the stages of a woman's life and the different way her sex drive is through your life. Is that a good way to put it?
It is a good way to put it. Okay, as I promised, I would tell a little bit about my own story, and that it actually leads into the whole thing about women when they change at 40. So about 2.5 years ago, it was highly assumed that I had ovarian cancer.
All right.
And I was quite ill for some time. Well, tired more than anything else. So nobody kind of knew about it except very close friends. But I did get a bit of a shock on the 7th of June, 2011. And I had been hospitalised in the January.
Yeah.
And my GP had found a cyst on my ovaries. Right. Now, I didn't know it was a cyst. He just found something.
Yeah.
And said, I want you in today. So I was away for the weekend with a friend of mine, a TV presenter, and we'd gone away for a weekend, the two of us, to relax because I had been so tired over the Christmas and I'd had pneumonia. So just one thing seemed to be leading to another.
My God,
over the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't know what was actually wrong. So anyway, he sent me in on the Monday, and I was there for a week, and they told me it was an infection in the bowel or something. So they let me out, and you know, you pay attention to doctors when they say, you know, you're fine now, you can go. So I kept asking about this cyst that was on the ovary, and he said, that'll be fine, it'll go away.
Right.
So I said, fine. So the pain was quite high up in my side. Now, I would walk 10K every day.
Really?
I love
that's
the walking.
How you have that beautiful body. Fantastic figure.
I like my exercise and the whole lot. And you see, because I do so much with the breast cancer and cancer care, I'd use my walking to do it. So it was easy to do, and my styling. So anyway, what happened was, I'll cut the story short here, 5.5 months went by. And in the meantime, he had brought me back in to have a scope down to see, was it celiac that I was having the problem with? It was creating this tiredness.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went back in and had this done in the March. And then I came out, and I think the week in hospital did me good. I got a rest from it all. Now, having said that, I had a huge amount of stress going on in my life because my marriage was gone, my business was gone, and there was a lot happening, okay?
Yeah.
And like everybody else, I was just trying to survive, and I was working around the clock 18, 20 hours a day. So a lot of my work was online, so I was able to not move around. So anyway, I remember going into my GP in the June, and this was from January now to June, remember? And it was the bank holiday weekend, and I was getting ready to do the mini marathon on the Monday with Ashley O'Loughlin for 1 in 4.
Right.
We had committed to do that, and we were going to have some fun doing it. But I was so tired on the Friday and the Thursday, and I was going to go up to Dublin to stay with her for the weekend so that I could rest for the weekend. That's how bad things got. I had no energy.
Wow.
So I turned around, and I decided to go into my GP on the Friday morning before I left. And I said to him, you've got to help me. I said, I'm beginning to feel like a hypochondriac. You sent me in January. And I've heard nothing. I said, so there mustn't be anything wrong. But I said, I'm not imagining this. So he said to me, how did you get on with the tumour I sent you in with? And I said, what tumour? And he goes, have you had any results from the hospital?
Oh, my God.
I said, I've had nothing except for the celiac one I rang about, and seemingly it's clear. So he said, he looked at his computer and he realised he had nothing. Now, it wasn't his fault because, you see, the hospital were doing the follow-up of me, not my GP. So I'm a divil for not going back to the doctor. So I didn't go back until it got to a stage.
Like that now myself.
I'd be too busy. Like everybody else, I'm too busy. So he panicked in a sense. He got very frustrated, rang the hospital, and said, I want to know where her results are, and I want to speak to this original surgeon. And he said, whoever he was speaking to said, well, he's not here. He's retired.
Oh, my God.
And he said, when did he retire? And he said, March.
Oh, for the love.
So just after I'd had my scope for the celiac, he retired. And he said, who's handling his patients? You know, what's that? And I'm sitting there, to be quite honest, the world could have passed me by because I didn't even have the energy to be interested in, you know, take in what was going on. So he turned around and he said, well, he does have a patient here, he said, and I have no results and I need her seen straight away. So he had a kind of a conversation with them, a very abrupt, he's a great GP, actually, I have to say, and very blunt to the point that you would listen, you know, you won't question him. So he said to me, he said, what are your plans today? And I said, well, I'm supposed to go to Dublin to do this marathon on Monday. Mm-hmm. But I said, I don't know if I'm able. He said, look, he said, you go to Dublin because it's bank holiday.
Yeah.
You rest up. If you're able to do it, you do it. If you're not, don't force yourself.
Yeah.
I'll have you in the hospital Tuesday. And I was like, why? And he said, we need this sorted now. I knew by his voice.
Yeah.
So he rang me at 4 o'clock that evening. He said, I want you in the hospital on Tuesday morning in Galway. So Tuesday morning, 20 past 10, I'm sitting in front of a surgeon. And I knew when it said oncology.
Yeah.
I was in a bit of bother. And he's a gynecologist.
Yeah.
And he sat there and his whole body language to me was very, very frightening. Because it was like...
Well, it would be, yeah.
I can't believe, he said, you're sitting here 5.5 months later after being diagnosed with multiple ovarian tumours.
Oh, my God.
That was the first time I'd heard it. Multiple ovarian tumours. And a mass in the womb the size of an 18-week pregnancy. Good and that's why my Lord. Tummy was swelling. And I wouldn't mind. Everybody knows now that Aisling was pregnant at the time, but nobody else did, only I did.
Yeah.
And the slag that day was, you know, I'm bigger than you are. You know, she was 3 months. And I said, but mine will be gone down sometime. Yours won't. I said, you'll have something screaming at you, you know.
Oh, my God.
So that was it. That day was the day that changed everything.
Yeah.
Within moments of him talking to me and explaining to me that everything needs to go.
Yeah.
It's 5.5 months. You have multiple ovarian tumours. And everybody knows that ovarian cancer spreads
rapidly,
quickly, grows silently. So as far as I knew, in my mind, and the way he spoke was I had ovarian. In my head, I had to prepare that I had ovarian cancer and he wanted the womb out straight away.
Yeah.
There was no delay.
Yeah.
And within the few weeks, I was in, out, done, dusted, everything gone. And I was left with one ovary. Because they were talking about treatment, mm-hmm. how I was going to have to take certain treatments and all that. So it was a very strange time because I started preparing my family as in, I'm going to have to make arrangements for my children. I'm going to have to... It's very strange to be in it because I've worked with post-cancer patients. I'm a post-mastectomy fitter for breast cancer. Mm-hmm. So I'd worked with all these ladies that had gone through it. And here I was now facing what... They had gone through their initial consultation and been told that something is not right.
So
I couldn't say I was scared. It was a very strange time. It was like I went into an automatic mode of...
You thought the worst.
Well, you did, and the panic, but it was like I had lost my best friend in the world to ovarian cancer. And... For some reason, I just said, I need your help here, Essie. I. So I rang her husband and I asked him the symptoms and that kind of thing. And he spoke to me. He's a very nice man. And her other best friend, Margaret. And they had explained, there was something the same, similar symptoms. But they just had a feeling I was going to be okay. And so that was fine. I had it all out. Had it done. I asked for the right ovary to be left if there was no cancer there.
Yeah.
And so... It was very funny in one sense, if you could find a bit of humour. But when I came back, my poor daughter, Margaret, had been waiting for me to come out of surgery. And when you come back from surgery, like, come on, you have the best drugs ever in the world. You're as high as a kite. And, you know, and I don't like waking up from an anaesthetic. I'm allergic to all the best painkillers there are on the market.
Yes,
I can't have codeine, Zydol or morphine. The best ones,
Jesus.
You know. And so they had to knock me out in other ways. And I remember at one stage saying to another surgeon, saying to him, I don't care how you knock me out, even if you have to use a wooden mallet, I'm not getting a drip in my hand, you know, because I'm a bit of a coward for drips and needles and things
after
like that.
After you going through all that.
Well, this had been before. But anyway, when I came out of the anaesthetic, she was there and I wasn't fully out of it. You know, you're kind of still kind of doped. But they had turned this TV on that was right above my head. And while my eyes were open, my brain was registering what was on. And it was The Runaway Bride.
All right.
What do you call her? She was in Pretty Woman as well.
Julia Roberts.
And I started answering her in the film because I thought I was in there. And I said, no, don't go down that road. And my daughter was kind of, how did you get on? What did he say? And I'm going... The other road. And she's going, Mum, I'm going to kill you if you don't answer me, you know. So I remember that. And then I just turned around and I kind of heard her then. It filtered in and I just said, oh, yeah, grand, it's okay. I won't know for 2.5 weeks. And she was going to kill me.
Yeah.
She wanted to beat me in the bed. But that was her frustration. Yeah, She's such a caring child.
Yeah.
So that was it. I felt okay afterwards. Of course, I had 3 months to recover, but I didn't recover in the 3 months. It took longer. It took about 6-7 months. A couple of mishaps in between. And but as far as I was concerned, I still had my right ovary and I was going to be fine. And everyone knows, even from the other radio station, Sunshine, there, that I'd be on with Andrea.
Yeah.
Wild. I have a very wild, personality. Happy personality.
You have your bubbly. I was just so excited you were coming in today. I swear, sitting on my computer last night, oh, come on.
Well, I don't do negativity and I don't do the gossip. So I'm not interested in the gossip. So whatever you want to tell me about yourself, do, but don't tell me about somebody else. I'm not interested.
Yeah, yeah. Well, fair play. That's a good attitude
It brings too much.
If you want to talk about someone, you bring...
Well, exactly. You know, I used to teach a class and the ladies that kind of one girl was missing one day and they decided they were going to nather about it and I just got up and walked out of the class.
Well,
and like, where are you going?
I have a friend that's like that as well.
Just you can't talk about someone when they're not here.
I said, no one cares.
Exactly. So everyone would have been used to me being wild. And I made this joke about the menopause that I couldn't wait for it at some stage because I'm freezing all the time. I'm so bloody skinny. I'm a size 10 that my legs are like chicken wings. If I turn sideways, you just can't see them. Oh, no, they're terrible.
I'm looking at the leather leggings on you. You look like hot chick there, mama.
I do like the leather leggings. Lovely. I don't know. I'm just bold with them. But anyway, decided that I couldn't wait for it to come because I would be warm and I wouldn't have to worry about a heating bill or anything like that. What I didn't realise was it crept in because the ovary that I had died very quickly.
Ah, no.
Yeah, the hormones went. So I went completely from having my hormones to literally have none at all within a short space of time.
Yeah.
So it was like I skydived.
Right.
Or, you know,
right.
jumped off a cliff. They didn't die naturally.
Well, like, how long ago was that?
I've only come back to myself since last, I'd say, November. Mm. So that would have been about, you were talking about maybe October. It was happening in 2011. So I didn't recognise it.
Yeah.
And then I was opening a business with a friend of mine in 2012. So I had so much to keep me occupied, but I didn't realise, and this is what women need to watch for, my emotions started to change. My confidence started to go. Now, I would never pay any heed on someone if they'd something to say about me. I'd say, I'm sure, fair play to you. That's your own opinion. And thankfully you were born with the brain to give you one. I'm not interested. If I've offended them, I would like to know. Yeah. And then I can actually say, but hearsay doesn't work with me, right? And there was a couple of problems going on with the business. So we had a lot to deal with. And then I was involved with a gentleman, a lovely, lovely man. But there was personal issues going on from him. So I was getting a backlash from something that was happening there on the side. So there was a lot to deal with. Yeah. And I didn't know what was happening. I was concentrating on the business. And I had Cannonball, which was my outlet, which was great. I love the Cannonball run. I go on with the team. I donate my time for the weekend. We film it. We have a great crew. And it's unreal.
Yeah.
Do you know? So that's the one thing I was looking forward to. But I found even at that, I was a little bit emotional on that. I wasn't as interactive. My interviews weren't great. Mm. But I did notice that if you said something to me, I'd take it to heart. I would cry a lot. I spent a lot of time crying.
Yeah.
But I thought it was to do with all the personal life and everything, so I didn't cop it. And then I ended up moving. I was living in Dublin and my accommodation wasn't great, but I had no choice.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could say that it was horrendous, actually. And I lived in one room.
Aww.
And so nobody knew this. So that's why I raised funds for homeless.
Yes.
And everybody thought that I just was living this life. But I started to go down very badly downhill. And I'd never done depression in my life.
Yeah.
And I went into a very bad place that I couldn't talk to people because I started getting panic attacks. Mm. But I didn't know they were part of the menopause. You see, this is what I want to get across to people.
Yeah.
That, you know, even couples that are together and you're with your wife for so many years and all of a sudden you see changes and she doesn't want to go anywhere and her sex drive has gone out the door and everything. It's just, she's probably won't even do her hair, do her makeup, anything like that. That woman's in trouble. She actually needs to have the test done to see if she's in the menopause.
Yeah.
So I did. I took my time out and I ended up ringing my doctor in a bad way at 11:30 on a Saturday night.
Really?
On a Saturday night, and it was Christmas. And I wasn't going to see my children for Christmas because I'm divorced, and they were going to be with their dad, and that was the final straw for me.
Oh, for the love, yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing
and
worse.
Then there's a simple little thing, a simple thing.
And it's kind of plays on both people, really. Like, it's not just one side, so you can't be kind of going, you're not getting them.
Well, my kids are my life.
Yeah.
And to me, to do that for Christmas was going to be horrendous.
Yeah. How many children have you, Molly?
I have three. Aww. And I have to say happy birthday to my son. He's 28 tomorrow.
So am I. Well, not 28, but 25th of April.
Yes, he's 28 tomorrow. So this time 28 years ago, I was in the hospital. 48 hours in labour from him. So anyway, what happened was a simple little thing that sent me over the edge was I love Christmas. And I didn't have my massive Christmas tree. I always had two in the house in Galway. And I had a little one. But it got given away by accident when there was stuff being moved out of the building.
Oh, for the
and
love.
I'd no Christmas tree.
Oh, no.
And that was it. That was it for me. I was, you know, that was it. I just didn't want to be, I'd given up. I was tired. I didn't want to be around anymore.
And all this going
But I knew
on.
That feeling was wrong because that's not me. And I actually worked for quite some time as a counsellor with suicide awareness. Mm-hmm. And I'm a youth worker for 24 years. And I would deal with youth that are in that position in their minds, you know. And I just didn't want to go on anymore.
Yeah.
But I rang my GP and I said, something's wrong. This isn't me. What's happening? So anyway, he said, can you be down to me at 11:30 tomorrow morning? And that was Sunday morning.
Yeah.
He was going to see me.
That was very kind of him.
Oh, he's a gentleman. So anyway, I went in and he did the blood test and all that. He said, I need you to bear with me now for a couple of days. We see what's happening. So I got the results back and yes, bang, no hormones left at all. I was in full menopause.
Right.
So once I got my HRT, it's not for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be going off it myself soon. And but once I got that, I started to very slowly come around and get back to myself.
Right.
And I started to go back to the way I was, which is going to lead us on to these age groups. I'm not going to say horny 40s. It got me back to my kind of my wildness in a sense, where I got very happy in myself, and it was very slow. So I would say to women, if you find your moods changing, the hot sweats are one of the signs. The hot sweats, which my doctor explained to me, can prevent you from sleeping, which lack of sleep will prevent the mood dip, which can cause which can cause depression.
Yeah.
Because you're not depressed or clinically depressed.
Yeah.
It's a fact that your hormones are not balancing you.
Right.
So I had to laugh at one stage when your testosterone goes up. And I said, am I becoming a man? I mean, happy days. I'm going to have these kind of, you know, male things.
Maureen, a big hug, Maureen. You're so strong, and a big hi. And there's no name with that. And Marion as well is also after texting in.
Oh, well, thank you very much. But you see, I tend not to talk about things unless I've been there, done that, more in the t-shirt, because I'm no expert on anything except my styling. And I will say I love my styling.
I love your styling too.
But back to that topic, as we were saying, why women change in their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to the menopause, like, I had been married for a very long time. And when my marriage broke up many years ago, I didn't date for 3 years.
Right.
That was a decision I made. And I talk about dating to people that no matter what happens in your life, if your marriage is gone or it has broken down or you're a widow or a widower, give yourself time. Make friends, but give yourself time. Because what you do is you bring your issues with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's vice versa for guys and girls out there. When a guy meets a girl, if he has brought issues with him, he's not long enough out of his marriage, the woman he meets could actually be long enough and ready for a relationship. He may be on the rebound and wanting love and all this kind of thing, but will destroy the woman he gets involved with, because he will be all over the place and he'll find himself, you know, changing his mind the woman won't understand, or vice versa, the guy won't understand. So you give yourself time to have fun. Mm. I don't care how you have your fun. I am not moralistic on anyone. You have your fun. I'm not saying become promiscuous, but get out, enjoy life. But you know what? Get to know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've come out of something, you were part of someone. Now you're you, and you don't know how to be there anymore.
And that's really, really true. A lot of people are kind of finding it hard without their other half, we'll say, you know, who am I? And finding it hard to deal with not being in a part of, like, what are we doing the weekend? Or even in the night time, you're sitting there watching, what will we watch? All of a sudden you're on your own, you know what I mean? And you have to make these decisions.
Well, when you're a married person or in a relationship for a long time with children, you become a carer.
Yeah.
So you're caring for everybody else and not your own needs. Mm-hmm. However, I have noticed in my time, and I'm 7 years or 8 years out, but I have noticed in my time with all the women I meet that the separated people, they tend to get this massive drive back, you know. So that's terrible to say that. So I would be gearing women up that when you reach 40, and if you have the kids anyway in a good age, you're able to take off.
Yeah.
Let loose and go away with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Give him a bit of a shock. Yeah. Do you know, like, women are afraid. They're actually afraid because we have this thing. I mean, je t'aime was banned in this country. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus Christ of Almighty. I was very jealous of her, actually. She nearly kind of put a mistrust in my marriage because, you know, her voice.
Yeah.
You know, I know another lady with a voice like that on radio. And, well, she does voiceovers now, Tina Gates.
Yeah.
And that woman, that voicemail of hers should come with an XX rating because her voice on it is unreal. So that type of a song was banned. But when women get to 40, I think what actually happens is, and they're calling it the 40s, is that you get this awareness of yourself, married, single or divorced. If you're married, you start to fight with yourself because now you want to be who you really want to be and behave who you are in the way you are. But you're restricted because your partner wouldn't be used to it.
Yeah.
Now, he may get the shock and be quite happy, or, and I'm not just talking about sex. I am actually talking about you become very assertive and you want to make those changes. So it actually, to put a key name on what happens in the horny 40s is you become happy. And when you become happy, your hormone level goes up. Mm-hmm. Your sex drive is going to be affected. Mm-hmm. You're literally like one of those dirty dogs trying to cock a leg somewhere. You're trying to contain it. It's all about confidence and happiness. So mm-hmm. I was there, but I contained it. I behaved. And I just had to.
My mother is listening to this, by the way.
Hi, Mam. Okay.
Mam, I'm a real good girl. I know, she's a woman of the world, Maureen. She doesn't mind.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at you and listening to you there on the radio. The one says, and I goes, your mother did a very good job. Very assertive lady altogether and very positive. But that's what it boils down to. I'm trying to learn your slangs here in Dublin. The dirty 30s. Okay, because I'd be calling it dirty. So the dirty 30s. Basically, yeah. You've gone from your teenage into your mid-20s, your excited age, to kind of settling a bit.
Yes.
But when you meet someone and you're kind of, your body is actually preparing to go into hibernation with someone because mm-hmm. you get into that age where you want your children and all this. So when you meet someone, you're as wild as March hare and it's all about having fun with that person. So you're going to try what you like. So they do call it the dirty 30s.
Mm-hmm.
But it dies down at 35 to about 38. So that's like a little mini change. It's actually very true, the 7 year thing.
Oh, I
every
heard that,
every 7
Jess.
Years you change.
And do you know something? It really is true.
Mm, you change. You develop a little bit more every 7 years. So the thing is, if you're with someone, you have to understand that they might be changing at a different pace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this affects men.
Yeah.
Everybody calls it the...
Guys, I hope you're all listening.
It does. It affects men, the menopause. It actually does. It's a change in hormones and they don't understand it. What happens is it affects their brain a little bit too much, whereas they think they don't want the one that's with them rather than talk to the one that's with them.
Yeah.
So a lot of them have in the past tend to have had affairs.
Mm-hmm.
However, they don't choose to talk to their partner. The same for women. They don't choose. They think he's boring. I don't want this. You know,
yeah.
Sex is unreal. It's like dead.
Yeah.
Girls, give him the respect that you fell in love with. Talk to him. He just may turn out to be a little bit of a dynamo. You don't know.
Yeah.
But they do go through that and their whole drive does drop.
Mm-hmm.
40 then, when you get to that age, it's like assertiveness.
You know what you want.
Well, you know something. You're kind of a lot closer to the grave than you were at 20. So you're kind of saying, here, I want to have a bit of fun or I want to enjoy my life or I'm not going to let people do to me what I don't want them to do. I need to be myself. So you get this unbridled confidence out of somewhere because you're fed up with things or whatever. That's why it's called the horny 40s. I have met women in their 50s. And it's the nifty 50. They are worse than any woman or man in their 40s.
Right, nifty 50s.
Horny 40s.
Horny 40s.
And dirty 30s. And
what about the 60s?
Oh, Jesus Christ, they're off the rail altogether. They don't care. They're just anywhere.
I heard a story there a while ago of a man who was 79 having an affair, right? Mm-hmm. But he'd done it in style. I shouldn't be really saying this on Near FM. But yeah, he did. At that age, like, after being out, and only after meeting the person, like, about 4 or 5 years, like, into your 70s. Mm-hmm. And a lovely, lovely person. And had an affair, like, it's at that age, it's kind of, is that, would you say that that's one of the bizarre ones, a once off?
No, not for men. If you said a woman, yes, I'd say women kind of tend to settle. But men, like, come on.
I don't know.
I
think that women are starting to become more empowered as well. Like, you're hearing,
assertive.
Yeah. I'm hearing more stories of women that are being promiscuous and leaving the husbands, and they're not taking it anymore. Where years ago, you stayed with your husband.
You did, and you kind of got, but you see, there you go. You see what you just said, that they're being promiscuous, having affairs and leaving the husband. They're not talking.
Yeah.
Communication is a massive thing that tends to go out the door. And when someone gets to 40, they become very assertive. So if they've been listening to the one person for so long and doing what they want them to do, they tend now, well, I don't care what you say anymore. I mean, you've controlled me for so long.
Yeah, yeah.
However, talk about it.
Yeah, we have another text in there for you. It's Karen as well. She's texted in. Really enjoying the show, Maureen. Maureen is some woman. I can relate to a lot of the things. I'm 44 and I can understand it a lot better now.
Great.
It's anonymous.
Great, yeah. Because at 44, you do actually need to be yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, get that buzz back in your life again. You have to stop lying to yourself. You have to stop trying to be someone for somebody else. You have to be yourself. Because when you are honest with yourself, and this is a big one, you draw to you who you should be with. However, you can draw people to you that are not suitable, mm-hmm. but you can tend to go along with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And lose that little bit of confidence again. So as I just say, stick to your guns, meet the person you want. Do not pretend to be someone else. I could not pretend to be quiet. Could you imagine me out? I went into a bar in town one night and without thinking, I was at the beginning of the bar and I heard "It's Raining Men."
Yeah,
right?
Baby.
And I was like, the feet started moving. And I'm like, okay. And I'm starting to make my way up. My friends are kind of midway up. And next thing, all of a sudden, my favourite song, Red Light by Billy Ocean.
Must have to get down.
Well, I literally took off from where I was the whole way up the floor and danced. What I didn't realise was these guys had been watching me with the mad hair. You know, the dress, the little mini dress on, the whole lot. And I took off in the high heels.
Maureen!
I had 5 of them around me before the song was finished. But they assumed that I was wild and I was gamey.
Oh, yes, nice.
But they got
to
land.
Yeah, yeah. So you put them in their box.
I did, yeah. Because, yes, I'm wild. Yes, I love to have fun. I love to laugh. I love to be around people who like to have fun. Don't give me the gossipers, as I said, because, Jesus, they ruin a night. But go for it. And I can have the crack with any man or anyone, but it doesn't have to be anything in it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So that's what I love.
I love that too.
Now, if I fancy him, what happens is I go very quiet. Oh, yeah, I go very quiet and it's unreal.
Yeah,
It's like, oh my God.
Shock statement. It's somebody in your kind of karma. Now, we're just going to take a quick break. Maureen, what a fantastic story there for the first part of the programme that you've shared with us. And you know something, you're a legend, and thanks a million for coming on. Sharing that though, like, you know, but we're going to talk more about that when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Because we have a story from a lady. She's asked a question here, so we'll answer it.
Yeah. You can text us on 087 69 44 500 or you can ring us here on 867 1190. Back in a mo, folks.
Download the podcast and catch up on your listening at near.ie.
Near FM.
3. This is Near FM.
And you're very welcome back to Lifeline this morning. And we have the beautiful Maureen O'Halloran in the house. And we're talking about will we take a little piece of music or will we keep going?
Oh, keep going.
Sure, we might as well keep. That's what we're good at.
Yeah.
For anybody who's only after joining us recently there, Maureen is after sharing her story and her wonderful story of how she beat ovarian cancer.
No, I didn't have cancer in the end, sorry.
Oh.
No, that's the part that I meant. I found out 6 weeks later that I didn't have cancer. So the whole lot had been removed for no reason.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so that's what got me down at the Christmas, because
oh my God,
I had found out I was going to the menopause, and then I had been told that there was no cancer there.
That's Jeannie Mac. That's,
so I can't talk any more about it, because I'm not going to leave it there at that.
Yeah,
because I
well,
should
I wouldn't
not
blame
have been
you.
Put
I would
through
not
that
blame
unnecessarily, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame
so
you.
So I didn't have cancer, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But yeah, seemingly it could have been detected that I didn't either beforehand. So I need to fight that.
That is
so Frankie Bubble is online there, and he's sending in his messages. And I know Frankie, and he actually came in to do the recording of a song that I got a group of people in. Shane Lynch gave me a song. It's a year ago this month, this weekend actually, and we recorded a song called One More for the Road. Having a bit of a complication with releasing it yet, but.
Right.
Brian McFadden came in, Keith Duffy came in, Frankie came in. So fair play to you, Frankie. Amazing, amazing singer. Of course,
oh,
there's the male
him.
Sexy voice now.
Oh, yeah.
That is, I'd be afraid to ring him in case I'd hear a voicemail that I might be attracted to. So he's having a gig in the ALSA on the 23rd of May for the Irish Cancer Society.
Yeah.
Does it say what the price of the tickets are? Or,
no, I don't. I think it's €10.
Okay, does it say where the tickets can be got?
No, but Frankly has been on before. It's actually Ken Kirwan, for people who may have remembered
yes.
when he was talking there a while
yeah.
ago. He himself had a kidney transplant, and he was talking to us about his life and how he had progressed from being sick. And he's always doing his little bit for charity too.
Oh, he's great.
Fantastic
he's
person.
Unreal.
But sure, he wants to come on and talk about it more in detail. So hopefully we'll have him on maybe next week.
Oh, he's great. And get him to sing.
Or the week after, yeah.
Get him to sing. But yes, I didn't have the cancer. So
Gee,
thankfully,
Mac, that's unreal.
I didn't. But I was left without my womb and my ovaries gone. And so it did change my life.
Well, it would change your life, you know, something like that. Like,
And meeting Karen was a very strange one. For above all people to win the competition, Karen Nicholson Stewart. And I have to say to AKM Limos, see, Karen did not know we were going to arrive in a limo to collect her. And the lads there, and Martin, our driver for the day, he was just unreal. And to the crew in the Selbridge Manor Hotel and Geraldine McGivery, they were fantastic. And of course, Cleary's Laura Bergen literally went out. We had a fantastic day. Darren in the church restaurant, you want to see what they put on. Wait till you see the video footage when it's done.
Oh my God.
It is absolutely unreal. She had the best day ever. And I couldn't figure out what it was with Karen that I couldn't pull back enough. Do you know what I mean? I needed
yeah.
to be. So I did my job. But when I handed her over to her family on the stairs in the Selbridge Manor, was the most emotional moment ever, because she didn't expect it. She thought we were going home. We were going to have
yeah.
a glass of wine, then we were finished. But we couldn't even do the photo shoots downstairs for fear that one of her family would be going to the toilet and she'd spot them.
Yeah.
So everything had to be done upstairs in the suites and in the hallways and everything in the hotel. But when I handed her over to her family, I got my crew together and Martin in the limo. He's from Tala. He's a wonderful man from the AKM limos. He drove us back. I collected my Jeep from their yard, and we all went off home. But for the entire weekend, I was in a different zone.
Yeah.
About Karen and life and the whole lot, and I just couldn't figure out what was wrong. It wasn't wrong. It was actually, if I was any more relaxed, I'd have been horizontal. I'd have been lying down, sorry, not horizontal. But I would have been. I'd just fallen over. So I had a lot of things to do that weekend, but I just did them as in I wasn't there, but I was doing them.
Mm-hmm.
And Tuesday, when Karen went in to start her treatment, I was talking to Karen since, and I've kept in contact. I realised what it was that happened over the weekend and what it was that Karen did to me personally. In my entire career with styling and mm-hmm. working with post-cancer patients,
mm-hmm.
that's the key word, post.
Yeah.
It was a celebration makeover. It was a new life. It was all this. I had never in my life styled a lady so young, such a young mum of 33 that was only starting her journey. And I realised I have to be on this journey with this girl. And I just couldn't leave it there because I knew it. I knew there was something. And I just said, oh, my God.
I'm going to
be on this journey. I've started something that is before the outcome, not after. Mm-hmm. And I just thought to myself, this young lady and I are meant to be connected for the rest of our lives. Mm. She is absolutely unreal.
She is, and she's tuned into us this morning, and we just absolutely love her. Karen, I hope you had
a great
time.
Mount there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
When will we be able to see the video, Maureen?
Oh, I'm going to keep that a little bit secret for a while because we're going to do it, and there is a TV station after the footage. And I want to make sure that whatever is done with it, that it portrays exactly what happened. Because some TV stations can tend to edit things out. And I know it's for the viewing factor and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they have to see how amazing Karen was that day. It was like there was nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And only at one time did I see her expression change. She was getting her hair done. And it upset me. So I won't say what she said because it's on the video.
Okay.
And but I knew her expression change. I knew something had gone through her mind. But eventually that left her. And we got on through the day. But I have to say, I got her into a short dress. She said, there's no way I'm wearing a short dress. I said, you are putting this on. And you'd want to see it on her.
I'd say she was gorgeous. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, I can't wait for you to see the shoot because the photos, fair play, Una Williams, photography.
I always say unreal. About Una, our local girl in Malahide. You have a text in there. Hi, Leslie. Enjoying the show. Great listening to Maureen. I'm 47. I'm 3 years going through the menopause and I can't wait for my 50s. Happy days from Marion.
So Marion is going to get into the nifty 50s.
Oh, here we go. Thanks, guys. And I love you. It's from Karen.
Yeah, kiss. Fair play to her. There's a question here from this lady. Okay. And I think we should just... She's texted in to me. So I think we just... Let's see... Okay, I have to get this one up because...
I have your song, by the way.
Oh, I don't believe you. Yeah. Wait till you hear this. Now, guys, when this song comes on, I want every one of you moving the bodies. Oh, dancing is great for the sex as well, by the way. For yourself, not for yourself, by yourself. It's great for getting the body in tune and kind of getting those hormones, you know, up and kind of active.
Yeah.
Dancing. I try to dance at least once a day.
Right.
I get up from the computer, I turn on this song, Red Light, or sometimes I'm in my rock chick mode. I'm very much into Thin Lizzy, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, you know it, looking at you. You have the rock chick going on.
Yeah, it's probably the wild head on me as well. Anyway.
No, it's not.
Anyway, this lady has said, I have been separated for 2 years now, and in that time, my sex drive has gone through the roof. When I was married, I had lost all interest in sex, but now I think about it all the time. I put it down to feeling good about myself, and again after 25 years of not, coupled with an increase in testosterone as I get older. I am delighted but sometimes a bit scared of where it might take me and that it might disappear again. Now, from breaking down the lines of what this lady has said, okay, she's already hit the nail on head that she's happy for the first time in the 25 years. So straight off, she has allowed herself to feel it, okay? Mm-hmm. She's probably gone a little bit promiscuous. This is what I'm getting from her message at the end, okay? That's fine. I'm not here to judge anyone.
Yeah.
No one else is.
Yes.
Okay? If that's what happens to you and you go cracked, I mean, I have seen guys that come out of relationships and all of a sudden they're like something that just sniffs out heat. They just go after one woman after, you know, that if there were male rams, they'd do really well on a sheep farm because they'd be just tipping as they go along. But that's what they're doing because they need to get it out of their system.
So how old do the men do that at?
Oh, Jesus Christ, any age at all. But anyway, for a man, it's totally different. Sex is not emotional.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
it's an act, really, isn't it?
Now, unless they're in love with someone and then it is. And you've got guys then that are extremely sensitive in that bedroom area and they can be, and if you're kind of rough with them at all, they're kind of a bit shocked when you knock it out of them. So be very careful when you're with a guy that you actually know what you're doing and feel your way, as they say.
A bit rough with them, Omar.
Yeah, don't be rough with them.
You're a gas.
Do you know what I mean? Take it easy. Now, you could get a guy and he
put that man down.
Do you know something? Una Williams, the night that I met the lad I was going out with, The night I met him, well, I had been talking to him for quite some time, but we actually got to meet for about an hour and a half. He came to an event that I was working on. And when I came out, I was heading back to Una's house to stay. And I gave him a kiss outside at the car park. And I got into my car. And all I could hear out of Una from the window was, "Put that man down, Maureen Halloran." I'm like, "Jesus Christ, you God love him. You'll eat him for breakfast."
And I might see her tomorrow night now. I'd be out on celebrating my birthday.
Oh, good woman yourself. Okay. Yeah. And what a stage you in? Dirty 30s, horny 40s.
I love you.
Anyway, this lady here, I think what she has done, because I'm getting from, I'd say she's in her late 40s. Mm-hmm. So she is part of the old Irish thinking, as in, you can't do this, you can't do that,
yeah,
you can't do this. I would never promote promiscuity to young people or anything else, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you're that age, remember, you have to go through the normal things of growing up, and you have to live your life in a good way as, yes, a young person, because people are very cruel, mm-hmm, and they're not adult enough to understand. So by being promiscuous at a very young age, you have to be so careful, because people do want to destroy you in, yeah, in, it's a fact,
yeah,
even though they say, well, young people are entitled to their sex drive as well. Of course they are, mm-hmm, but be very careful, because there's a very big thing in this country that will never change, and it's like every guy wants the girl that he can shag, mm-hmm, but he won't marry her.
Yes.
At a young age, right? Having said that, when the horny 40s and he meets her, she's so wild and, you know, whatever, he's like, he'll chase her. And he'd want to hold on to her, because she's going to be giving him what he wants, and, you know, he's going to stay.
That's
so it's
the,
a different,
in
you're talking about different
40s.
Age groups. You must go through the, yeah, whole thing. So I would say that. But this lady, I think, is scared, because she's dealing with the fact that you would... promiscuity would have been out when she was a young person, then, yeah, got married, and now she's out in a world she doesn't understand. I mean, if you don't give it to a guy on the first date, he's gone. I wouldn't give it to him. I'd say you can wait. Mm-hmm. You could wait 6 weeks and 6 months if I had to make you wait.
Yeah.
But you're,
yeah,
not getting it. That's too bloody precious to me.
Yeah.
You know, you want this, honey, you will wait for that.
Hold the bone and the dog, oh, will follow.
Well, I just, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you ain't get this. Do you know what I mean? You can wait.
You want a piece of me?
Yeah, but I'm at a different stage.
Right.
I don't want to go out and do this whole one night stand thing or whatever. I like who I am.
Yeah.
I am not very righteous. Mm-hmm. I am like, I have so many friends that they have these buddies they meet every so often because they don't have time for relationships. That's huge in Ireland at the moment.
Yeah.
We won't call them what they are, but they're a buddy.
Friends,
we won't
say that. Friends with benefits.
That's it. But they're happy enough to do it, mm-hmm, because they don't want a relationship. Now, some people would frown on that, but there's nothing wrong with having old fashioned views and old-fashioned thinking. However, you do not put it on someone else.
Yes.
You have to let people be themselves. So that girl, I'd say to her, will you stop worrying? You do what you feel is right now, but protect yourself, mm-hmm, emotionally and physically. Mm-hmm. You have to protect yourself at all times. Do not leave it up to someone else. You, and I say it to guys, only you are responsible for what happens to you. There's a very good post. No one brings drama into your life, only you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you allow the drama. And if you allow it, you deal with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know, that's what I just say about the gossips. If you listen to them, you will deal with the drama that follows afterwards like a hurricane. So, yeah, that lady, I think she should just get on, enjoy her life. Don't settle with anyone. I always say that. Do not go and meet someone and get stuck in with them. Excuse the pun. Straight off after coming out, give yourself time. Enjoy yourself. If you're feeling horny, I mean, there's sex shops in there and the whole lot and whatever you want. There's tons of gadgets. You might want to get one that's rechargeable.
Right, Maureen, I had a message in on Facebook as well. A lady had a question. Now, this person is 34 and has a few children and was in a relationship for 15 years with a person. And that'd be right. Yes, from a very young age, okay? Mm-hmm. And the relationship's over a couple of years. This woman is in her early 30s. Mm. Cannot get enough sex. Just, it's obsessing her. And that's what she asked me to ask you.
Okay, how long is she out of the relationship?
About two years.
I'd love to know how young she was when she got into the relationship. Mm. And because I just need to state this, and I don't know if this woman, but she doesn't have to say her name, but if I hit the nail on the head.
I'd say she was around 25, 24.
Okay, right. How do I say this without offending anyone? Sometimes from your childhood. Mm-hmm. There can be a lack of attention,
yeah,
or a turmoil upbringing, but there can be a lack of attention from a male. And some girls, not her, I'm saying, some girls can become promiscuous to get that attention because they feel, so they get into this zone where it's just, where they don't realise they don't have to give it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's attention to them. Now, if a girl has got married then or been in a long-term relationship and hasn't got the attention in the relationship, as in carried on from her younger years,
yeah,
when she gets separated and she's in that age group, can tend to send her off the rails a little, as in just taking it with any, you know, meets the guys and yeah, has sex the first night.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen. Other than that, it's just she's as horny as feck. She just needs to get out there and do whatever she has to do. It's normal. Who are we to say, I'm not a doctor, mm-hmm, that it's not normal? If your sex drive has gone through the roof, go with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get out to meet someone, you can't buy the gadgets.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Carry little bullets with you all day, you know, you can pull over in the car. But well, like, we're afraid to talk about things like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Women are afraid to talk about their sex drive, all that kind of thing. When you put inhibitions on yourself, you can have your own inhibitions to yourself, private, what you will do, what you won't do, mm-hmm, and you stand by them.
Yeah.
But stop putting rules and regulations on your own sex drive, as in, if you need an orgasm, have it. It's free.
I think it's the generation that went maybe before us. It's kind of as if the younger generation are breaking through.
Mm.
And these barriers that were there in the past, that you go out, you find a nice fella, you get married, you have the kids and you live happily ever after. Where in this day and age, the people don't stay together. Because it is sad. They don't work out on their relationships. But I suppose that's the way life has gone these days.
Well, that's why I was going to say that, mm-hmm, because there is a danger side to all this free sex.
Yeah.
There's a danger.
Tell me about
it. It's way too much on offer in a sense. Mm-hmm. So guys know and girls know that they can get it. If he's not willing to put it out, they'll get it elsewhere.
Yeah.
So what's actually happened is this loyalty and this moralistic view, or values, as I'd like to call them.
Yes.
That where you were reared to be loyal to a person and not hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
That's gone out the door. People don't consider other people. They've become very self-centred.
Yeah.
So it's like a contradiction in terms. Yes, I need to think about only me and I need to put myself first because only then can I help others.
Yeah.
However, there's a fine line between crossing it.
Yeah, and the loyalty thing is huge.
It is very huge. But sure, look, it's online, it's there, it's everywhere. It's a different era, but I think people go through different stages in their life. They go crack for a while, they might become promiscuous, but they actually do eventually go back to
being their normal self.
Yes. But so get it out of your system.
Exactly. Now, do you know something? That's weird that you'd say that, get it out of your system, because I remember when I was, I believe, 20. Now, this was going back a few years ago. And I remember I had this infatuation with a person and I was in a relationship, would you believe, right? Mm. Now, I can't believe I'm saying this on air, but how and ever, let's throw it out there.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely cracked about this person in the place that I was working with. Now, it's everyone
you
knows
what I'm talking about. Them.
Well, I liked them, yeah. And really, and I remember I'd be walking home with a woman and she was much older than me.
Mm.
And she was a real good friend that I could talk to. And I remember I kept saying to her, I can't sort of thinking about him and bloody, bloody, blah. And she said, get it out of your system. Just do it. Just go for it. Now, I never did. Mm. But, you know, I suppose in
Showed
a way.
You weren't in love with the guy you were with.
I wasn't.
Or there was something lacking.
There was, yeah.
In the relationship. Because when you're lacking, you could be in a relationship with someone for quite some time. If you start thinking of another guy or another girl, let the last one go.
Yeah, yeah.
Do not hold them there because people become opportunists. They don't want to leave the relationship because she's safe or he's safe.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll just go and do this thing. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Because that says more about you than it does about the person you're with. So once you go down that road, you've gone into a different level in your life that you need to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And
you could be cheating.
That's it. And having an affair and whatever. But you know something? Try, this is what I meant, people don't consider others.
Mm-hmm.
Try, no matter if the person is bad to you and you want to have the relationship, keep your own values. So walk away before you do anything. Let them go. And then it'll never be in your heart that you betrayed someone. Do you know what I mean? I've never done it.
Yeah.
I have never done it. And I did fancy a guy while I was dating another guy and I broke it off with the other guy.
Yeah. Well, that's probably the way to go. Break it off, girls. Break it off.
It wasn't fair to him.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't want the other guy when I was. So what I realised was, I just wanted out of the other relationship. It just wasn't for me. I knew if I fancied someone else.
We're going to have to bring you back again because haven't spoken about the bras yet.
Oh, honestly, yeah.
Yeah, and come here, I wanted to kind of get more into the HRT as well, and we haven't talked about
that. We can do
that
another day.
Poor Maureen's going to be hate me now, yeah. Do you know that? Come back, Maureen, come back. But something there that you said to me just a minute ago there was about trust.
Mm, you know, that's a big thing.
And this thing that we are talking about, online dating, has become rampant. Mm. And people sleeping with different people and just wanting the sex out of it, basically. Yeah. You know, but that little thing that you're talking about, the bit of trust, it's lovely to have a little sparkle in your solar plex, we'll say,
yes,
for somebody, that little bit of, yes, so sweet.
Which everybody wants to feel love. We're human.
This, yeah, you know what I mean? Without the drama of it, you know, like this possessiveness as well, yes, is a horrible thing that can ruin relationships,
destroys them, breaks them.
Yeah, you know, so I just think that people need to stop and say, you know, that we do look for the sparkle. It is there.
Well, someone that controls someone, whether it be male or female, their problem is that they have a fear of losing the other person.
Mm-hmm.
That's because they don't think enough of themselves. So what happens is they create an atmosphere where there's always an argument, or there's always, where are you going? What are you doing? Where are you going? How long will you be? The person is going to leave. So they're actually going to invoke what they don't want to happen. They're going to force it to happen. Whereas if you've got a butterfly, whether you be male or female, let them fly.
Yeah.
Because once they have a safe haven, I'm lethal. Right, I appear that I'm like, yes, I'm going to run at this, and I go off and I do things and whatever, right? Straight off, and this is no lie, I am very old-fashioned. The man's in charge. I leg it behind him for when I get in trouble. I'm gone. I literally run for cover. Like, as a lad I was with at one stage, he turned around and he says, oh, she'll be grand, she'll be back when she gets in trouble. As in, we were out in the club and we were all talking to people and whatever, and they were asked where I was. Oh, don't you worry. As soon as something is said down there or whatever, she'll be back. She'll be right behind me. So, yeah, I do tend to give a man that power.
Yeah.
However, I'd only be with a guy that would let me be free,
mm-hmm,
because then I appreciate him and I would never jeopardise that.
Yeah, yeah.
So guys and girls need to understand that controlling,
mm-hmm,
will destroy you internally and make you very sick.
Yeah. So we're going to be wrapping it up shortly. Thanks everybody who texted in, and people, Maureen, you're going to have to just come back on, and that's,
sure,
we haven't squelched it all in. I mean, I was so looking forward to talking about the bra fitting thing.
Well, the bras are great. We have to get into that because women, you know, when you're going out dating and the whole lot, if you're an A cup, I have some great advice to make you look like you're Pamela Anderson. Now, he'll get an awful shock when the bra comes off, but you're looking... if he... watch with the same word in the mouthfuls of waste, but... I have some great bras.
That's gas when the bra comes off.
Oh, that's it.
We're ready.
Yeah, that's it. Once the bra comes off, he knows there's nothing there. He goes, where did they go? So come on. It's as we were saying earlier on, don't put yourself forward falsely, but put the body forward as falsely as you can till you get him in there. And then you've got your sex. It's like...
the inch of your life.
Oh, yes. So I've got a load of stuff like that can actually enhance the body and make you look like you're, you know, fab thing.
And that's,
you know,
what we love, stuff like that. And you are a stylist, and that's what we want here. And as we said, I keep saying this, that Lifeline is designed to pick you up and make you feel good. And I think we've done our job well today.
Exactly. And the reason I'm into bras so much is I had my first breast lump removed at 21.
No way.
Yes, and I've had 9 removed through the years. Yeah, so I've had a fair bit of damage done there. So I love my padded bras. I still have boobs.
Yeah.
Still have quite nice boobs. And I've always massaged them for years, moisturised them. So, you know, they're... Jesus, why did I just say that? But anyway.
Oh, no, Maureen has lovely moisturised boobs. Just, so it's great.
I help them to kind of stay...
You look after yourself.
Good. Exactly.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Why I'm into the bras.
We want women to know that you know, you have to look after yourself, and there's nothing wrong with if you
exactly
are...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we will talk about that the next day with the bra fittings, because all women have to moisturise their bust. They have to.
Yes.
Because then it'll stay looking young and perky and all that. There is a way to get it up, the, as I call it, the pear tree syndrome. If any women are listening out there and they have the pears,
mm-hmm,
basically when you bend over, it's really narrow at the top and you've got this lump at the bottom. So that's the way your boob falls after feeding babies and all that.
Yes.
There is a way to get it up with no surgery, mm-hmm, or anything. Takes you a little while, but by God, you should see the skin and the breasts you'll have by the time you're finished.
Okay, well, that's our next show. Well, that's where we're going to have to leave it there, folks. Hopefully we'll have Frankie Bublé coming on, and he will be coming on with us in the next week or so. And good morning to Tara as well, just before we go, and to Karen and everybody that texted in, and thank you so much to Maureen. And we're going to play
get up out, dancing to Red Light with you here.
We're going to play out with Maureen's song Red Light. And for myself, Leslie Murphy Sloan, everybody have a fantastic weekend. I know it's not till tomorrow, but enjoy it anyway and be safe out there. Slán go fóill.